Connecticut Today for Tuesday, February 9th, 2021 on WICC 600. Chris Powell joined us for one of his regular check-ins. He, of course, the outstanding editorialist for the Manchester Journal-Inquirer. We talked to Chris about certain state issues and a preview of the governor's budget address. In the 5 o'clock hour, Republican State Senator Tony Wong checked in, again with a critical look at what might be coming up from the governor and a look into the possibility of legalizing recreational marijuana in the state and also passing a measure to allow legalized sports gambling as well. And we actually asked folks during the show to call in and voice their preference. Would they rather have legalized sports gambling in the state, or would they prefer a first legalization of recreational marijuana? 203-333-9422-333-WICC. So somebody descends from the heavens, and they come to you in a vision, and they say, you've got a choice. You can't pick either, by the way. I'm not going to let you wimp out on that one. But let's say you have a choice, and they say, well, you've got to pick one or the other. You've got to say, okay, I'm for legal adult recreational use of marijuana in the great state of Connecticut and keep the sports gambling away from me. Or you say, no way to weed. I'll take the sports gambling because we have enough gambling as it is right now in the state. Which do you pick? 203-333-9422-333-WICC. You have to pick one. Not letting you squirm out on this one saying, well, I don't want either one. No, because they're likely both going to happen in some way, shape, or form. So you're probably going to have to deal with both of them. I hate to tell you. But which one do you think we should have if you could get rid of the other one? Ken in Milford. Ken, you're on WICC. Howdy, what's up?
Yeah, I'd pick prostitution to be legal.
Well, now see, I told you, you can't. You got to pick weed or sports gambling. Although I did say the other day, Ken, I do think within 10 years you're going to see more states legalizing prostitution. Yes, yes.
Well, all three would be just as good.
Yeah, okay, but you got to give me an answer here. You want weed or gambling? Let's say you could only pick one. Which one tops your list?
I'll take weed.
Okay. All right. That's a fair question. All right. All right, Ken. Thanks. Appreciate it. Ken in Milford. I'm going to keep a tally here, by the way. Hold on. Weed or gambling? All right. Ken led us off today. Weed or gambling? Which one are you more likely to say, all right, whatever, I don't want either one of them, but which one are you more likely? I bet you haven't thought about this, huh? Hmm? I gave you a little brain tickle this afternoon, didn't I? But which one, and it would depend probably on how old you are, what economic strata you're in, whether or not you have a propensity to use substance or not. Believe me, there's a lot of people out there that don't necessarily toe the line when it comes to everything they put in their bodies. That's fine. I'm a libertarian on that sort of stuff. But definitely two vices, right? And, yeah, prostitution is too, but that's not really on the table right now. Although, you know, Ken said that would top it for him. Listen, I'm not going to comment on why, but, you know, whatever. But again, I do think within 10 years, so I'm saying by, you know, while we're hopefully we're still talking 10 years from now together, you and I. But I'm telling you, by 2030, there will be more states in the U.S. that have legalized prostitution. But if you had to pick one or the other, which one are you more likely to say, nah, all right, I don't like either one. Doesn't mean you have to like both. Maybe you like neither. I get it. But if we're going to go down this avenue, which one are you more likely to say, nah, I'd rather go with that one versus the other one? Now, I have a guess here. My guess is, and I could be wrong, and you can still call up and give me your honest answer on this. My guess is more people would lean towards sports gambling. That's just me. I might be wrong, But my guess here is more people would simply lean towards sports gambling, because look at all the legal gambling we already have around us. And it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was a while. It was 40, 45, 50 years. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago where the idea of even having a freaking lottery in this state, people's heads started to spin. Their eyes rolled back in their in their skulls. They're going, oh, we can't do that. But count all we have now. Think about it. And there was a time where we had nothing. We have all manner of the lottery now. We have the, you know, the daily numbers, the nighttime numbers, Lotto, Powerball, Mega Millions, scratch-off tickets, Keno. You know, it's wild to think that, you know, and of course, we still have OTB. We had the dog tracks at one time. How many people in Bridgeport went to the dog track? High Lie. Remember High Lie? I used to go to High Lie. Not a lot. But I went a number of times. I wasn't a big bettor, $2 a game, $4 a game. I enjoyed the athleticism of it. I really did. I had a buddy of mine from high school who went on to become a professional High Lie player. He did very well. Our buddy from the weekend, Lee Ganim, is on the phone. Lee, how are you, sir? What's going on?
Not too much, buddy. How you doing?
I'm all right, Lee. What do you got for me?
I want to vote on that weed versus gambling thing, if you don't mind.
Yes. What would you pick?
I would pick the weed because it'll help my business. We could teach people how to grow that stuff and how to kill the bugs on them. They are a crop, so they're right up my alley, Paul.
And our garden guy. There he is. Now, Lee, I mean, but they're not going to let people grow it here. You know,
but
in other countries, Lee, that's how they do it in some other countries. People get growing licenses. Wow.
Right. But this is a huge industry, and it's going to be, there's no regulation to it, which makes it a real big problem.
Well, that's a problem, too.
A lot of the crops that were grown by the federal government, they ended up with funguses on them, and they had professional horticulturists. And they didn't pick up on it because they were sending samples out with fungus on them and stuff like that. So, until you get regulation for this stuff, it's a disaster.
Hey,
so
Lee, though, when
very bad.
When you think about it, Lee, though, you know the state's going to need a supplier, Lee. So I'm just saying, you know, Do you have any empty greenhouse space there at Ganim's Garden Center? You never know, Lee. You know.
Well, they put out that hemp product.
Yeah,
the state guys, and it's overloaded now. So
is it really? Yeah, because I actually knew
everybody.
Yes. I had a couple of friends of mine that were going to go into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Lee, listen, Lee. You know the state's going to need suppliers, so you know you got that little unused greenhouse there. You can help out Governor Lamont. How's that, Lee?
You have Lamont call me. I'll take care of the whole
thing. All right. Lee Ganim, Ganim's Garden Center, that garden guy every
Great
Sunday
show,
morning
Paul.
Right here on WICC. Thanks, Lee. Appreciate it. Thanks. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Lee Ganim there. Ganim's Garden Center, that garden guy. Okay, we're asking around the building, too, and the guy hanging around the building is Mike Lapatino. Mike?
Hey, Paul, how are you, my friend?
Blappy, how are you, buddy? So listen, I'm floating this question, and that's why Stosh was going around the building taking our survey. You have to pick one or the other, legal weed or legal sports gambling. You're going with?
I'm going with the legal weed. That's what I'm doing. Actually, quite frankly, I like to see all of these things become legalized and remove the state income tax.
Look at you.
That's what I'm saying. But I think to pick the lesser of two evils, I think the weed is lesser than two evils.
All right. Okay. Now, I'm also running with a different prediction here, Mike. In the last couple of days, I've said this. Within 10 years, let's say by 2030, most states will have legal prostitution as well. What do you think of that, huh?
Well, you know, I'm also for that, too. Because remember, it doesn't only work for guys. But I know a lot of women who are in my age category,
really?
Over 50,
that are single,
that don't want to have a relationship, but yet there's certain needs to be to be met. And why not do it and regulate it, and we charge for it?
So you want to start like an agency on the side?
Well, I already have one. No, I'm only kidding. I don't. I'm not wearing a giant purple hat right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Lapatino, 99.1 PLR.
I got to go back to my show.
Yeah, why don't you go back and play that satanic garbage that you...
Paul, I love you, man. I really
Lappy,
do.
Lappy, I love you, man. Right, I love you. There you go. There you go. See, folks, it's a big family here at Connoisseur Media, Connecticut. We even let the FM guys on the air every so often. All right, what do you think? 203-333-9422-333-WICC. So coupled with our callers and some people we asked in the building so far, it is an overwhelming lead, a shutout for legal marijuana over legal gambling. Now, Mike did make an interesting point that I was chatting with him off air about, which is kind of interesting. There are people who say, and I don't know whether you agree with this or not, kids, there are people who say that gambling has likely ruined more lives than marijuana. Now, I know now people will dispute that. There are people who will say, listen, marijuana is a gateway drug. Gambling is bad, but marijuana is worse, especially if you're young. I'm just throwing it out there. Mark in New Haven at 312. Mark, what's up with you, sir?
Oh, I just missed my old buddy Lappy.
Yeah, well, you know, he's still around, still getting it done.
Yeah. I'm in favor of legal prostitution first.
First? You mean before weed and before gambling?
Absolutely. I think that saves the most lives and makes the most sense.
And it helps people meet their needs, as Mike said, that might not be having their needs met right now.
The other two things we can get just by going down to church and chapel or to the casinos, I mean, or the OTV. I mean, let's not fool ourselves.
Is that where you get your weed, down at OTV?
No. I told you, I get it in Massachusetts.
That's right. No, listen, I get it. So can I? So, no, but seriously now, we have to add your tally here. Forget the prostitution. Forget, you know, Agumad right now, as we say in Italy. Weed or gambling first?
Oh, you mean like what's going to happen first?
No, which one, if you had to pick one or the other, let's say somebody went up to you. Yeah.
I would pick weed first.
Okay, all right. So far, nobody has picked gambling first, either on our Twitter poll.
It's ironical because I was going to ask you to place a poll, which would go first.
Yeah, well, we have a poll up and running on our Twitter feed. Yes, WICC 600 on Twitter. Yeah. What?
I said, which are they going to put in first?
No, and I'm asking you. See, it's my show. I see, it's my show. You respect the host. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know what you said. Like my thing better.
Your thing is how, now. What was your thing again?
Which one are they going to actually do first?
Well, they're going to do both. They're probably going to do both in this session, believe it or not.
They might not do either. I mean, it's been 10 years.
Yeah, well, but now they need the money. So,
and
you know.
The Indians never did this gambling before.
Well, because they've been approached.
Old compact they made with Uncle Wiker.
Yes, Uncle Lowell's compact, the Indian
and
tribes.
Another dirt ball that followed him. What was his name? Roland.
Boy, you
I
hold.
Have to say, the best governor we ever had after him, the woman.
Oh, Jody, the woman. You mean Jody Rell. You like Jody. Him. Yeah, what about Governor Wilbur Cross? What about you think of him?
Yeah, but his high school didn't match up to the.
How about Governor John Davis Lodge? They named a road after him.
He was pretty good.
All right.
Bush was pretty good, too.
How about that? Mark, thanks. Appreciate it there. All right. I'm sorry. Destiny. Was it Destiny? You're on WICC. What's up?
Hi, Paul.
Hello.
I'm on the minority.
Okay.
I pick gambling.
All right, so you go with so you're the first gambler. All right, I got to put that gambling column there. Okay, and why would you pick that first before marijuana?
I think gambling is less addictive, less harmful. Right. I think it's more legal. Maybe we might make some money on it.
Okay.
And I don't think we have illegal casinos in the state. And as far as weed goes, mm-hmm. I think that weed is a very tricky thing because we don't know enough about it. We don't know how to test impaired people that are on weed.
That's true, yes.
Mm-hmm. And they do cause some deaths on the highway. And it's illegal at the moment.
And you know what? You bring up a good point, Destiny, because technically it is still a federally illegal substance. You are right. You're right.
Yes. And sometimes when you do weed, it leads to other things and wrecks some people's lives. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's more help for people that gamble. I think there's Gamblers Anonymous.
Oh, yes, absolutely. For years,
I don't think there's any help for anybody that's on weed.
You know, that's interesting. Destiny, thanks for the call. I got to run. Thank you, Destiny, there in the valley. Thank you, Destiny. I don't know whether, well, I guess if you were on weed, you'd go to, one of the drug help agencies. But Gamblers Anonymous has been around for years. I've interviewed people from Gamblers Anonymous. They've given me the lowdown, the skinny as to, you know, what gambling does to people's lives. And again, there's always that debate, too, as to whether or not marijuana is what they call a gateway drug. Does using marijuana open up the gate or the doors to something else? Destiny, thank you. Tim in Hamden. Tim, you're on WICC. What's up?
Hey, Paul, I've been away for a few days. Can I still get $100 on the Kansas City Chiefs?
No. Well, I wouldn't recommend it, no.
No? Okay.
No.
Wait, you fools were betting against Brady? You got to be kidding me.
I just thought the Chiefs had too much speed, but you know what? Tampa's defense was really good all year, and people discounted them. You know?
Yeah, and then people forgot about Gronkowski.
Yeah, I know.
Who, by the way, is one of the greatest blockers of
beast. He's a beast. Yes.
Absolute beast. Yeah. Absolutely. A couple of other little things before we get on to gambling stuff. So you played a little bit of, or you mentioned David Cicilline, who was my congressman in Rhode Island.
Yes.
Whose father, of course, is a mob lawyer for the Patriarchs.
Oh, I don't know whether you should say mob lawyer. That's...
Oh, okay. That's... You know, okay. No, a lawyer for the people who own the jukebox business.
That's better. That's better. Garbage condo, plumbing contractor, something like that. Yes, yes.
I hear you're into construction.
Seriously, Cicilline was a mob lawyer, huh? I didn't know that.
Well, no, his father was.
Oh, his father was.
David is the intersectionality of all. He is openly gay, Jewish, Italian. Yeah. It's like, come on. It's like,
he seems like a pretty straight arrow.
Well, if you said that, you'd get a laugh.
Well, you know what I mean. I don't see him.
People either love him or hate him.
All right.
It's just, you know, it's one of those things and stuff. You know, he's very progressive on some things. But, you know, and this last guy you had on the air, the Republican, you know, now we're comparing ourselves to the fall of Rome and Greece. Okay.
Well,
yeah, it's like you got to say whatever you got to say.
You're
out
getting
there.
Paid. You got, you know, when you're a lawyer, you're getting paid to say that stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. How many million has Trump raised for his defense? How much is
240 or 225 million or something like that?
Yeah. He was also, the other good one was that he raised a lot of money for the Georgia runoff election, and did not spend a dime on it, from what I understand.
Yes.
So it's like a grifter's born every minute. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Yes. So to my question of if you had to pick one or the other, and we have people on Facebook and on Twitter saying, well, I would pick neither. No. The question is, if you had to deal with, if you had to, that's not how the game is played. You're right. You're right. If you had to pick one or the other, Tim, it would be?
Legalizing pot. But, you know, my fear is that that they'll find a way to mess up both of these somehow or another. You know, it's just like not quite, you know, that's, you know, I mean, if they do, like I said before, you know, big pot comes in and stuff, and we can't grow it in our backyards, and you've got to be regulated and everything else along those lines and stuff. So we're going to do that, or gambling, you know, big gambling will come in for who knows what kind of offshore thing. Or you have to have an app, blah, blah, blah.
Well, and that's order, the way it's going now. Apps. Yeah. I mean, you know, most of these,
you have to be in New Jersey.
Most of these estates that have it, you have to have your location services set on your phone, and you've got to do it that way. And that's how they're doing it. Absolutely.
Well, and on the one hand, I understand, you know, definitely the state needs its money. And I'd rather, you know, do these so-called sin taxes and everything else, you know, than all the other kinds of ways. But, you know, again, are we going for the dedicated, you know, funds and stuff? Some people were talking about, you know, okay, do sports, you know, but it's going to be only for college education, free education.
I know. And Tim, I do have to run. Thanks. Chuck in Naugatuck at 352. Chuck, what's up with you, sir?
I like Mark's idea. Take away the income tax and do them both. They're going to do them anyways.
They are.
And the problem with it, Paul?
Yeah.
Are they going to help the deficit with the benefits? No. They're going to give the unions more money, and the people that pay the taxes in Connecticut are going to suffer, and bigger companies are going to start moving out again. I'm so tired of this. And even, you know, when you talk about the impeachment part of our president, former president, it's the swamp Republicans that are in with the Democrats. I mean, this swamp is so deep, Paul. Mm-hmm. It's just tiring. Now I know, I told you before, why good friends of mine are well-heeled. They don't even want to vote anymore because it just never ends.
Yeah, I mean, Chuck,
it's a terrible way to say it. I mean, I'm at an age now where I can understand why my friends don't want to vote anymore because they just don't. They do what they want to do. But I want to bring an issue up about marijuana. There was this beautiful college girl. Graduated college, had a nice job and a nice office, a receptionist. She was up and coming, you know, probably taking courses for her master's and something, whatever. She had a two-week vacation coming in a nice big company in Connecticut. And she some sort of girlfriend's class reunion, five years out of college. All so right, she goes off to Florida or something for 2 weeks.
Yep.
She's down there, and one of the good friends of hers are smoking crack.
Oh, jeez.
And she says, oh, I smoke marijuana in college. Oh. I'll try this. This is the problem with smoking. And then the health problems and everything that goes along with it. And this poor young lady ended up on a street corner doing all the unusual things just to get another bigger crack.
So she became just by doing that, Chuck, she became hooked on crack.
Yeah, and it's like the darn. You know, I went to a quit smoking class for cigarettes.
Yeah.
And they said nicotine, one drag, 7 seconds, you'll be hooked on nicotine again. But the problem with the crack is the same. And the trouble with the crack, I understand, is it's only $10. It's cheap.
And they say, it is.
Well, unfortunately, the $10 turns into, I know a woman my age.
Okay.
I've known her for 40 years.
Yeah.
She gets $3,300 a month pension.
Yeah,
it's gone in 2 weeks. From
she spends it. She spent. Oh, and she's still doing. Oh my God!
She comes home. She lives with her aunt. She's 70-something years old. I mean,
and she's still doing. Oh my God! Yeah, Chuck, it is. You know, I've talked to people in the drug counseling field and at pharmaceutical companies, and they tell me that because of the chemical makeup of crack and how it's taken into the body, it is the single most toughest thing to kick of any habit. Yeah.
Well, then we hear, was it Colorado is now a possession of coke and heroin's a misdemeanor? Come on.
Yeah, bro. Some small amounts.
What road are we going down? Or was it with Oregon? I don't know where it was, but where are we going with all this, Paul? I mean, there's a bigger something going on, you know, and I hate, to sound this way, but I believe China has all the ill wills of being in the top country in the world, and they'll do anything to get there, Paul.
I think,
and they're
Chuck,
doing it to us now, Paul.
Well, I do have to go, Chuck. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I think more than the China thing, and I don't know about the China connection, but what I do think is we're in a scenario now where I think we're at a crossroads where we're looking at so many people doing something. Sometimes, not always, sometimes we lose the fear as a society of saying, you know what? This is wrong. This is not good. Well, a lot of people are doing it, Paul. Yeah, but that doesn't make it right. And that doesn't make it healthy. You know, again, I know people say, well, you know, marijuana for all these medical conditions. There's a difference between medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. Yes, marijuana, as many medications are, you know, it has medicinal roots from a plant. But, you know, just because Valium helps you or certain kinds of antidepressants help you, it doesn't mean that you suddenly say, well, you know, you don't have to have a medical condition for that. COVID, what will some of the initiatives look like? And if you read and listen to the buzz that's floating out of Hartford and, you know, illustrated on some of these news sites, there may be kind of a divergence of opinion between the governor and his Democratic caucus on taxes, whether or not to raise them, and if so, which ones. And writing about that and more in a recent column is our buddy Chris Powell from the Journal Inquirer of Manchester. Chris, Paul here again. How are you, sir?
Great to be with you, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. And, yeah, well, you know, there's always that specter, Chris, of tax increases here. We have our friend Mr. Looney of New Haven all talking about a mansion tax and this tax and that tax. But, Chris, this should be interesting tomorrow because a lot of the buzz coming out of the Capitol is the governor might not be a real fan of some of these things. What do you think?
Yeah, he said he doesn't want broad-based tax increases. Of course, he just signed one into law a few months ago, the 0.5% increase in the state income tax that everybody's paying for paid family and medical leave that they'll probably never be able to use or that they could have arranged for themselves by self-insurance. And he's endorsed basically another hidden increase in the wholesale gasoline tax in the name of raising money for transportation. But maybe he forgot those when he said he wasn't going to favor broad-based tax increases. In any case, he certainly would have to go a long way to go farther with tax increases than the most liberal wing of the Democratic caucus in the legislature. They do seem to want, you know, not just Senator Looney's mansion tax, but they want higher capital gains taxes on the rich. They want higher income taxes on the rich. There's a very big pro tax increase faction in the legislative part of the Democratic Party, and that's going to be interesting to see if the governor can pass a budget without yielding something to them.
Yeah, and also, Chris, they are, you know, they don't drop this. You hear about it every 2 years. It's almost like, yeah, here it is again, just change the names of who the quotes come from. But there is this constant drumbeat, Chris, to raise income tax levels on the highest earners, corporate tax rates, capital gains taxes. And yet, every few months, you see these stories pop up about, you know, what states are seeing the biggest outflow of people leaving. And it's all from the Northeast here. Yet, there's a cadre of people that just don't seem to care. They don't listen. I haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, there was a study came out a couple of weeks ago from something called the Pioneer Institute that documented how Connecticut is losing its higher income people in part because of higher taxes. Massachusetts, too. Now, the people advocating raising taxes say, oh, not many of them will leave. But we do know that Connecticut has been losing population relative to the rest of the country for more than 10 years, and we know that the people who have been leaving are not welfare mothers. They're people who are paying substantial taxes. So, you know, this is kind of a game of chicken. But the trend of things in Connecticut has been for a long time that, you know, maybe in another 30 years, there's only going to be government employees and welfare recipients here, and they're going to be looking at each other over the table, wondering where all the money went.
Yeah, the money can sprout legs and run. You know, capital will go where it's treated the best. Chris, hang on. More with Chris Powell. We'll talk about what we could hear from the governor tomorrow vis-a-vis a couple of things that have been trying to get done here that haven't gotten done yet, but maybe they'll get done now. We continue with Chris Powell straight ahead first. Traffic and weather together, 436 on WICC. And one thing Bridgeport always talks about, says novenas, praise novenas, go to whatever house of worship you want, maybe getting some sort of gaming facility in the downtown area. Maybe now with one bill introduced in the state Senate, that could happen. Chris Powell joins us once again from the Journal Inquirer of Manchester. So, Chris, we're doing our annual or every two-year cha-cha about legalized sports gambling in the state. And now, everybody seems to say, hey, this is the time to do it. But there doesn't seem to be, Chris, any kumbaya moment yet between MGM or Sport Tech or the state lottery or the Indian tribes.
Yeah, you know, I guess there's got to be some deal with the tribes or else a lawsuit before any of this sports betting happens. I mean, the governor would love it and the legislators would love it because it's, you know, kind of like a voluntary tax that will fall disproportionately on the poor that the Democrats always claim to be looking out for. But, you know, if it's a choice between getting some more money for the government or protecting the poor, they'll take the money every time. But I don't know. They haven't gotten the deal yet. I think one of these days, state government is going to have to stand up to the Indian tribes and just say, hey, you know, we are the greater sovereignty here. You guys can go your own way. We'll license some other casinos and see how you guys do out in the woods there.
But yet, Chris, whenever that's talked about, you know, and I know, you know, the tribal leaders say, okay, you know, that slot machine money we give you, I don't know, that's going to violate the compact, so that'll have to stop. So they win, Chris, that game of chicken that goes on every other year.
Well, they win it as long as the state government's afraid of it. I don't understand what prevents the state government from saying, okay, you know, let's do away with your contributions from the slot machines, and you know, we'll put a casino in Hartford, we'll put a casino in Norwich, you know, maybe one in Waterbury, you know, we'll just license some other casinos and make a deal with them, and you know, you'll be out in the woods there, and you know, see if you can attract traffic. I mean, it's you know, who needs Indians to run casinos? I mean, there are casinos all over the country that are not run by Indians. What offends me here is just the ethnic patronage. I mean, the whole thing was a pretense. I mean, they passed Indian gaming in the federal government on the premise that, you know, all these Indian tribes are poor and they got to have something for economic development. Well, that wasn't what was happening in Connecticut. We didn't have any oppressed people oppressed because of their ethnicity or heritage. All these people who are Indians now were, you know, living in raised ranches and working in an electric boat like everybody else in eastern Connecticut. And, you know, now they're zillionaires because we have ethnic patronage in Connecticut. I don't know. I find that offensive, and I'm all for helping the poor, but, you know, these guys weren't the poor.
The other issue, Chris, that now, again, we talk about every other year, but now we're on the precipice of glory here, legalized adult use recreational marijuana. And if you read some of these proposals, Chris, as I have and I know you have, there seems to be a lot of pandering here now to the cities, you know, to right whatever previous wrongs have been rendered on whomever. And maybe they think this will push it across the finish line. And again, though, there's three or four levels of taxation here that I wonder if there's going to be a point of diminishing returns on this.
Yeah, you know, you raise the taxes high enough on marijuana, people go to Massachusetts for it, or they just go to their neighborhood dealer to buy it. I mean, there's certainly an ethnic patronage proposal here that, okay, we put a lot of black people in jail for selling dope. Now we'll give them licenses to make money selling dope. I'm not sure really how that does any reparations for anybody. I mean, does that help the guy who did 5 years for selling heroin and is now out. He's not necessarily going to get a drug dealing license. I know the whole thing's a little hypocritical to me. At the same time, they're planning to legalize marijuana. They want to outlaw the flavored vape products for kids. Like, you know, we got to protect the kids. At the same time, we're going to be, you know, selling marijuana publicly.
How do you think, Chris, we're going to shake out once, hopefully, maybe in a few months from now, we're talking and maybe there's a bigger light at the end of the tunnel with COVID here. More people are getting the shots. You know, we'll be through the summer into the fall. The infections will likely be down. How do you think the state's going to figure here? We do have a bit of a rainy day fund to fall back on, and now the governor is talking optimistically about what they're going to get from the Biden White House. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the governor is playing it right. He's expecting that there's going to be billions and billions and billions for Connecticut from the federal government. From my observance of what they're doing in Washington, I think they have no concern over where the money's going to come from. They'll create as much as necessary to shower the country with it. They're, I think, indifferent to the prospect of devaluation of the dollar on the international currency exchanges. But I think the governor's right to expect that, you know, the state budget can be made whole by all this federal money that's going to be coming in. You know, we had an announcement the other day of millions of dollars for schools from the federal government and millions of dollars for hospitals from the federal government. So, you know, I suspect it's very possible that, you know, all the deficits that have been suffered by official or semi-official organizations in Connecticut are going to get reimbursed. And I think the governor's got a good sense of that, and that's why he doesn't think that much more in the way of taxes is needed. I suspect he's going to be proven right.
Chris, final point. I just wanted to bring this up with you. You're a longtime veteran of the newspaper business, and despite the great job that all the papers do in the state, and, you know, newspapers, to my mind, are still the backbone of American reportage, you know, we're hearing things about the future of the Hartford Courant here. And say for what it was, despite all the great papers, they are still considered the flagship paper of the state. But, you know, there's no more physical newsroom, and now there's questions. The state is putting pressure on the hedge fund that owns them. Boy, I tell you, Chris, I never thought I'd see this day, but it's not good. You know, neither you nor I want to see something like that happen.
No, you know, the industry is in decline. I think any business that depends on literacy and civic engagement is in trouble these days because civic engagement is declining with literacy. But you know, the hedge fund doesn't own the Courant yet. The hedge fund is an investor.
Yeah,
Alden Capital is an investor in Tribune Publishing, which owns the Courant and the other Tribune papers around the country. Alden is trying to buy Tribune, and that may happen. And so then Alden will end up with owning the Courant through a property deal that I don't fully understand exactly how it happened. Alden already owns the Courant building in Hartford, and Courant got out of its own building because it couldn't afford the rent anymore that that Alden was charging. Alden's a very rapacious operation. It has been buying newspapers and newspaper companies, not really because it wants to get into the news business or serve communities. It's been buying them so it can strip out their downtown real estate, repurpose that real estate, and make a profit on the real estate. That's what they've been doing around the country. Where the Courant is going to end up, I don't know. Certainly its employees want to be bought by some rich guy or group of rich guys who won't mind losing money on it for a long time. But that's not much of a business plan either.
Well, Jeff Bezos owns one paper. Maybe we could interest him in one here, you know.
Well, Chris, it's available. I'm sure Tribune would sell it tomorrow for the right price.
Oh, absolutely. Sure, absolutely. Chris, always good talking to you, folks. Check out Chris's columns once or twice a week. The latest one, Legislative Dems Plotting to Bypass Lamont on Taxes. We'll see what the governor says tomorrow on that. Chris, be good. We'll be in contact. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Paul.
Chris Powell, Manchester Journal-Inquirer, Legislative Dems Plotting to Bypass Lamont on taxes. Tony Wong is going to join us, and he's been close to a couple of issues that are starting to bubble up at the Capitol. Tony, before we, first of all, good to talk to you again. Before we talk about the your little cha-cha the other day during a marijuana, or actually a tobacco hearing, what is the latest now, Tony, with the state apparently wanting to get into the health insurance business? What's going on with that?
Well, I think you phrased it beautifully. But before I start, Paul, thank you so much for having me. And,
sure.
And happy National Pizza Day.
That's right. That's right, Tony. Gotta love it. Absolutely. Right.
I mean, Americans consume 23 pounds of pizza per person per year.
That's a lot.
Exceed that, by the way.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, on to the legislative process, but yeah. I couldn't resist Pizza Day. Look, we're right now in the middle of our debate at a public hearing in the Insurance Committee talking about a, insurance, health insurance, the public option state-run health insurance program. It's Senate Bill 842 that's being proposed by the controller and the Democratic majority in the House and the Senate. And we've had a debate since 11 o'clock, and we're still ongoing. We've had, I think we've got like 100 people signed up. I think we're on 40. So it's going to be a long night.
Wow.
And the debate really comes down to, you know, look, Republicans and Democrats support and agree that our health insurance costs are unsustainable. It is too expensive, too onerous, and the system needs to be fixed. The difference is how we go about making it more affordable, maintaining the quality, and making it accessible for everyone. That's where we kind of differentiate. And the current proposal that we're debating today is looking to have the state take over and provide a kind of a partnership program where they're going to pool different risk pools. And the lure is very, very, very catching, because it's going to say, I'm going to pool you and I'm going to give you affordable health insurance to nonprofits, to our small business owners, mm-hmm. to our farmers, to individuals that have been left out or prohibitively expensive in the escalating costs from private insurers. Yeah. And it sounds great. The problem is insurance is all about risk management, and we have to take a look at risk management and whether we are actually managing the risk of paying out premiums and providing insurers mm-hmm. and healthcare providers and our doctors and medical equipment and pharmaceuticals the necessary reimbursement. As I understand it right now, we have a partnership program that includes a lot of our teachers' unions and a lot of other employee groups. And they're looking to expand that into the private market basis. Okay. And we're saying that it is a system that is too costly. We don't have the risk experience. The state should not be in the business of running health insurance. And if they run into the red because we don't manage risk effectively, because we have no experience in it, the liability is on the backs of Connecticut taxpayers.
And that's exactly, Tony, my point when I'm seeing this is that, okay, insurance works great if you manage your risk and you have enough, you have enough cash coming in to pay out the claims. But my immediate thought on this, Tony, is, okay, are the taxpayers going to be on the hook for this if suddenly this starts to run in the red?
Absolutely. In fact, the budget office pre-COVID had generated a report that the current partnership program that is run by the state, that they're trying to model this state-run program under, is $30 million in the red. Now, the numbers look better now because we haven't utilized healthcare since the COVID pandemic. People aren't going to rehab. People aren't going to the various medical costs that need to be reimbursed. So you're going to get a different picture in regards to how the current partnership system looks now. But yeah. Prior to COVID, it was running in the red. And ultimately, I think for us is the fact that we can't afford to mess with something that is so important to people's health and well-being. And so there's a fiscal note, right? Mm-hmm. The other note that's very interesting and came out of the public hearing was the fact that, you know, under the Affordable Care Act, right now, under the private marketplace, no one with pre-existing condition can be rejected.
Sure.
I think that's one of the most positive things that came out of the Affordable Care Act, that no individual pre-existing condition can be rejected for insurance like they did in the past. Well, you know, this proposal in Senate Bill A-42, they can actually approve or deny you.
Mm.
And that is like the worst thing that you're saying, I can give you a better rate, quote unquote, and the taxpayer's back. Yeah. I can give you all the wonderful things that the state says we promise you. But, oh, by the way, if you're too much of a risk,
we can turn you down.
Isn't that just absolutely stunning to me this morning?
That's wild. Tony, the other thing I want to get to before the break is you participated in another hearing on Monday that I saw a couple of articles on that raised a few raised a couple of eyebrows. This on the push that we've talked about here on the show a lot to get rid of flavored tobacco products. But one of the people testifying at the at that hearing, Tony, I don't think he was ready for a question you asked him.
He wasn't. And let me be clear.
Sure.
The American Heart Association does an incredible job, a remarkable national leader in health awareness and fighting tobacco and addiction services for the better health of people's heart. And I'm going to give him a shout out during Valentine's Day. It's quite appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But I also asked him from an international leader in health and advocacy, yeah, and the voice that they had as they are advocating the banning of flavored tobacco, mm-hmm, and vaping, as we've done in the past, that I said, can you give me your context on, while all of my colleagues are fully on board and saying we should ban flavored tobacco and we should, smoking is bad and it's a health risk, we're also a legislative body that is going to possibly consider legalizing marijuana. It is taken by many other ways, but one of the ways that it's taken is smoking it, and it increases health risk. And I said, wouldn't it be fantastic if you as a national organization with the voice that you have come out and speak of it as a potential health risk? Well, he didn't have an answer, and he wouldn't take a position. And I might have surprised him, but it wasn't meant to be an attack and an interrogation. It was well-intentioned that, you know, perhaps what we do as a legislative body is consistency, is the fact that if we're talking about smoking,
yeah,
and health prevention, I'm all for it. I'm fully supportive of removing flavoring. But
yeah,
shouldn't you be consistent and not on the one breath saying it's critical, we're going to fight opiate addiction,
yeah,
we are going to fight addiction, substance abuse addiction in every way, on the other end and say, you know, we're going to legalize marijuana, which is a narcotic on the federal charts. It just seemed inconsistent to me. And in fact, that is one of the biggest challenges I have with us as legislators is whether you believe in one way or another,
mm-hmm,
we should be consistent in our approach and philosophy and stay with it.
Absolutely. Tony, hang on. I want to ask you about the governor's budget address tomorrow. First of all, let's do traffic and weather together. More with Tony Wong straight ahead. It's 516 on WICC. It's coming up to 520, 20 past 5. A couple more minutes with Tony Wong, Republican State Senator Fairfield. Tony, what are you hearing? What is the buzz, if any, regarding what we might hear from the governor tomorrow? We're already kind of reading in the Current and the Mirror and the News Junkie that he's going to at least cause some fret in his caucus and not go for broad-based tax increases. What do you think?
Well, I think tax increases is definitely out of the picture, although it appears in this health insurance program they are going to tax insurers and increase assessment fees. That being said, I think the governor is taking an austere approach, and it's surprising is the fact that fundamentally, structurally, we actually have a significant deficit in our state budget, and it's a two-year budget. We run on a biannual cycle, so the budget that he's proposed is for 2 years, and it's probably going to be about $44 billion divided by two, and we're going to look at addressing some of the structural challenges that we've had, but the reality is we've been flush with money. We're actually at a budget surplus because Wall Street has been doing well, and we've getting a tremendous influx of federal money to help our budget, and a lot of our expenditures have not been fully utilized. So we actually have a little bit of a surplus, but I caution everyone the fact that this is not real. This is not a real economic cycle and a budgetary process, that the good fortunes that we have is short-lived, and we have to govern moving forward in a sustainable way. So I applaud the governor and not getting into the lure of what you're saying with a lot of my Democratic counterparts that says, you know, we want to raise taxes $4 billion. We want to make sure we get more money to everybody. I would love to get more money to everybody, but someone's going to foot the bill, and that's the challenge. So I hope the governor presents an austere budget and creates some fundamentals that we can live with and live within our means, so that when we get out of this economic malaise caused by COVID, that we're ready to go, and we don't get caught shorthanded with bad habits of easy money.
Finally, Tony, on the gambling issue, we're seeing all these reports that, oh, there's momentum for it now, and everybody is getting together, and they're trying for this kumbaya moment, and whether it's going to be Sport Tech or the Indian tribes or the lottery and other entities here. Everybody is suddenly talking, Tony, like this is a wonderful thing and it's going to happen. But is this going to be more smoke again here, or is this going to be the year that it finally gets done? Because somebody, Tony, or all the people that get in that room talking about this, everybody I would think is going to have to give a little here and divvy up the pie, or am I wrong?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is the divvying up of the pie, and that's important. You got Sports Tech, you got the lottery, you got the two tribes, you have the national betting parlors like DraftKings and MGM Bet. These are all national players that look at Connecticut as the enclave of money that is kind of the lone landscape from all the other surrounding states that have allowed online sports gambling and online gambling. But the problem is Connecticut's unusual, Paul, because we have a compact with the two tribal nations. And the interpretation by the two tribes is they have monopolistic control over all forms of gaming. And they deemed that online gambling and sports gambling is under that monopoly, and they don't want to share with anyone, versus other vendors like Sports Tech and anybody that comes in that says, look, if you're going to legalize it, we should be able to get into this game on a due process basis. That has been one of the nagging challenges. This is, we have a unique compact. Many other states dictate it by policy and say, who's going to meet these requirements? You can do business. Connecticut's unusual in that respect. Mm-hmm. I think the second point is Bridgeport needs to be considered in this equation. And I've heard the governor say that many times. And as a representative that has a neighbor of Bridgeport, I have heard from many of the colleagues that they have been promised and they have seen the possibility of gaining economic initiatives through the online, and they want to have their day. So there are many other variables and complexities. The third thing I will say to you is this, Paul. You know, it's fascinating, is that many other surrounding players, and if you saw the Super Bowl or any sporting events now, you're seeing advertisement into Connecticut airways, they could possibly be drawing people. And you're saying, oh, look, we're losing this money. You know what? The reality is we may be losing the money already, and it may not be as big as it is.
Yeah.
So that may be another economic factor, but I think the fourth part that I've always been an argument on and feels very lonely on is gambling addiction is one of the most insidious addictions that we have. And in fact, it is one of the top causes of suicide as well as a fraudulent and criminal behavior of
divorce,
individuals.
Marriage dissolution, divorce, family fracturing. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we don't talk enough about that. You know, when the major organization for problem gambling in the state of Connecticut, and they do an incredible job, is nearly 85% funded by the lottery and the two tribes, it's sort of like, how far can they go in criticizing that gambling expansion is a bad thing?
Tony, thank you. Enjoy the governor's address tomorrow, and we will talk in the future. Tony Wong, thanks as always.
Thank you, Paul. Have a great day. National
thank
Pizza
you, sir.
Day.
We appreciate it. Yes, happy Pizza Day. All right, folks.